Verify which name he was having trouble with. Glad to be here tonight and thank Brother Shad for this opportunity to preach to y'all tonight. And if you would, turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6. Brother Heath told us that a good sermon was one that when you listened to, you got 5 or 6 sermon thoughts out of it. I don't know if I'll do that good tonight, but maybe I'll be able to touch somebody's heart, help somebody here tonight. In the book of Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible reads, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in." And here tonight, I'd like to preach on God can open up what the devil shuts up. And if you would, here tonight, stretch your hands this way and ask God to touch me and anoint me. Dear God, I thank you for this opportunity, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for how you do. God, I ask you, Lord, to anoint me to touch somebody's heart and help them, set them free, Lord Jesus. Put a hope in their heart, Lord Jesus. God, move upon me tonight in Jesus' name. Now, Jericho, a very familiar city that we all are acquainted with, I hope. And the city of Jericho was one of the promises. It was part of the promise of God that the children of Israel would possess it. And how many know that God has given us many promises that we should possess here tonight? How many have ever heard the word of God come forth in a tongues and interpretation that concerned the backsliders in our area being saved and being brought to God? How many have heard the word of God come forth in a message in tongues or a prophecy, and there be a word of God concerning revival that is fixing to happen? How many have heard that the preachers stand up and give us a word of the Lord and tell us about how that the Holy Ghost is going to fall and different people's going to be saved and touched, delivered, and set free? Well, I'm here to tell you we can possess those promises. Those promises are just as sure as we are able to be saved. Those promises are just as sure as the promise of the Holy Ghost was whenever we received it. Let me tell you, those promises are just as sure as God's power is. God is very powerful. He created this earth. He controls every law and everything about it. In the palm of His hand, as the song said, He can control everything about this. But what must we do to possess this promise? Well, Joshua in the chapter before, God commanded them to take and separate themselves anew, to re-separate themselves from the things of this world, from the Gentiles and from all the other nations that were surrounding them. They had to set themselves apart. And God commands us throughout the Bible that He wants to purify Himself a peculiar people. Doesn't it say that? And Brother Heath also told us that when you follow the culture, you never stop. How many of the churches of today, the Assembly of God movement and different movements, started following the culture just a little bit? And they took one step. And they thought, maybe if we just move a little bit, we'll open up a little bit more. And somebody else will come in. They took another step. And now you see where they are today. When you follow the culture, you don't know where to stop. But let me tell you, we've got to separate ourselves afresh. James Burgess, he always stood up and said, every revival throughout the world came on the whenever that the people realized the holiness of God afresh and anew. We've got to set our eyes on the things of God. We've got to look upon Him and see Him as He is and see ourselves as we are. Then we will be able to have a revival like we really want to. We must follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Praise God. We've got to get closer to Him and follow His paths. I've told this here before, but a lot of y'all haven't heard this, but me and Brian Gaither used to work out in Texas some, and there was this radio station called K-Winds, and we'd listen to that radio station while we was out there in Texas, and whenever we'd start driving home, it was about 2 hours out there, we'd start driving home. For a while, it'd be good, and then we'd get farther and farther away from that radio station, and it'd start fading out. But every once in a while, we'd hit a pocket of that it somehow connected with our radio better, and we'd hear it strong again for a little while, and then it'd fade out again until eventually we didn't hear any more of that radio station. You know, that's how it is with our church world. People, they turn their church in the complete opposite direction of God. And they start going away. They're driving away from God the whole time. But they feel a little bit of the Holy Ghost here and there. And they say, hey, we're doing fine over here. I feel a little pocket right here. I feel the Holy Ghost just for 5 minutes. Last night for about 5 seconds, I felt goosebumps go up and down my spine. And the whole time they're driving in the complete farther and farther away from God, and they're getting farther and farther away, and they get more and more used to not hearing anything at all from God, and not feeling anything at all from God, until finally they realize they're not connected anymore. They're not anywhere. They're not even hearing anything from God's voice, or nothing's touching them. Nothing's moving them anymore. But I think it's time we turn the car around, don't you? I think it's time we stood up in America and turned this vehicle around and got closer, got headed back in the right direction, got America back on the old paths, sought out the old paths, and guided America back on them. Praise God. Joshua also saw God's face. Now, you may not think it was God, but I believe it was a Christophany or a theophany that God made Himself manifest there whenever He saw the captain of the Lord of hosts. And He says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the Lord, of the host of the Lord, am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his worship, or unto his servant? Now, this is the battle title of the Lord. He came prepared to fight. He didn't come as a lamb led to the slaughter in this point. He didn't come as any other thing, but He came ready and armed, ready to fight, ready to conquer. And Joshua, I think the reason why that Jesus said here that He came as, He said, are you for us or for our adversaries? And He said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Now, what does that mean to you? What it means to me is, He said, I'm going to fight this battle, Joshua. Whose side do you want to be on? He didn't say, I'm on your side, but He said, I'm going to fight this battle. Do you want to be on my side, or do you want to try this all on your own? And if you follow my commandments, you're going to conquer this city. You're going to open up this city and conquer it. And if you follow God's commandments today, Falk won't be nothing. Texarkana won't be nothing. Shreveport won't be anything. We can conquer this world if we follow His patterns and His commandments. Praise God. The first step toward victory is to confess that you are second in command. That you take orders from somebody. Praise God. I think it's time we focused our eyes on the one who is our leader. I think it's time we focused our eyes on our captain. We got our eyes focused on Him and followed Him in this war path. Warren Worsby said, "The soldier who wants to fight the best must bow the lowest before the battle." And we see that Joshua laid down there before God and showed himself, showed God how low he really was, how humble he really was. And in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Our land needs healing. Will we humble ourselves? Too many times we're busy trying to show our own name and start our own thing and show everyone how good we are. But if we lower ourselves, and people said, when they saw us, "This man must be a man of God. He's so humble and follows Him at all times." We've got to humble ourselves. This city was shut up. Why was it shut up? Because of the children of Israel. It wasn't shut up just for the fun of it. It wasn't shut up because it worked better that way. But it was shut up because somebody was making them shut up. They couldn't go out and get they couldn't go out and get food. They couldn't go out and farm the land because there was an adversary there. And you know what? We must attack our backsliders in a way, in a spiritual way. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we said, if we prayed so hard against for our backsliders to be under conviction, that they would be afraid to drive it to work in the morning? They would be afraid to go to work in the morning because they'd be afraid they would die. They'd be afraid every time they took a step out of the door. Every time they got out of bed, they were afraid of falling and breaking their neck or dying of some other way. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could shut up our backsliders to where all they could think about in their minds was how they used to be. How that they used to feel the presence of God. How that they used to live. And after the Jericho was shut up, it says that they compassed it all the one time every day until Sunday. And that was 13 times altogether. You know, we don't know how many times we'll have to go witness to that backslider to get them in church. We may have to come up to them one time and say, "Hey, let me tell you about how Sister Eileen was healed the other night. She came to church and her wrist looked like it was pointing out a different direction. And whenever she left, the swelling had gone down. And when she came back the next morning, just moving her wrists around. Let me tell you about how so-and-so got saved and how he was delivered from drugs. And let me tell you about how this drunkard I saw the other day prayed before God and accepted Him in his heart and was delivered from all that sin. Let me tell you about how Jesus is coming back soon." How many times will we have to approach that sinner before that wall falls down? How many times will you have to, how long will it take to get that blessing? Let me read this quote. It says, as J. Sidlow Baxter, he said, "Men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our argument, but they are helpless against our prayers." They can say what they want to against us whenever they're to our face. But whenever we pray and the Holy Ghost comes down into their heart and touches them in that convicting way, there's nothing they can do to push that back. There's nothing they can do. They can't throw up a wall to hold that away from them. They feel it. We may have to keep on. This takes effort to get these blessings. God is usually not in a hurry. He just wants to see how much effort you'll put into it. To get what you want. What do you want here tonight? Do you want the Holy Ghost? Do you want to know Him in a deeper way? What do you want here tonight? Do you want a gift of the Spirit? It's going to take effort. Do you want revival? You may have to walk around the city 13 times. You may have to keep walking and working and pressing on. I'm reminded of Elisha with the whenever they went up And all those kings were there in the valley, and they were dying of thirst. And he said, make this valley full of ditches. Whenever they were digging those ditches, I'm sure it was not a happy thing for some, but they knew that this is what the prophet commanded us. And whatever he commanded us, that's what we must do. He would not have commanded us this if nothing would have happened. And the next morning they had water and they had victory because they put forth the effort. Elijah sent that servant 7 times, I believe it was, to check and see if there was a cloud in the sky. And the 7th time he returned and he said there was a cloud the size of a man's hand. He spent all that effort just to see a cloud the size of a man's hand. A sign that God was sending victory. A sign that God was sending the rain. And whenever he had went all that time and Elijah had prayed all that time, God sent the rain. In the obedience of Israel here, we see confidence in the divine presence. It was manifested by the unquestioning obedience to a divine command. Whenever Joshua said, God told me that we must walk around this city, all these times they didn't throw up and start murmuring against Joshua at that time. They started doing it. They didn't go ahead and try to do some other way. This again is faith manifesting itself by an obedience, which was altogether ignorant of what was coming. It never says, I don't believe it says here, that Joshua told them why they had to march around the city. He just told them to get up and they had to march around in a certain way. And they just kept right on doing it. It's also faith manifesting itself by persistency. How deep is your faith here tonight? How strong is your faith? How persistent are you to get that backslider saved or get that lost loved one saved? How much faith do you have in your heart? Your persistence will show it. The Bible tells us, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We've got to keep on pressing on. Keep on pushing on. Keep on trying until it happens. This method of taking the city was not one of war, but of faith. You see, the children of Israel did not know anything about the elements of war. They had no idea how to operate machinery. The only way that really would have been able to take down this city would have been to starve them out and just to sit there and hold them. And that would have been the only thing they'd have been able to do. And they didn't know how to operate siege weaponry and trebuchets and catapults and all that thing. All they knew how to do was farm. But God knew how to do it. God knew the exact formula that would take that wall down. They had to rely completely upon God. They had no idea how to take it down on their own hands. With their own hands. But they placed it all in God and followed all of His paths and all of His ways. When they placed it all in God's hands, they were able to take down the wall. We must place all of our desires and all of our needs in God's hands. If we want revival, we must follow His plans that He leads us in. We must do exactly how He says. We must follow as He tells us to do. We must follow what He says. We also see the glory of God in this chapter here. The Ark of the Covenant was symbolic of the glory of God coming down. And they protected it with the military men by having them go forward in front of the glory of God there, the Ark of the Covenant. We must protect our glory. We must protect the things of God. How many times have you seen somebody lose out with God just because they didn't protect what was valuable? We protect many valuables in our homes by having guns and security systems and everything else. But we have something far more valuable in our hearts. We must protect it even more careful. Even more greater. They also led this company with trumpets. And the blast of the trumpet was in the Jewish feast the solemn proclamation of the presence of God. Whenever they would blow that trumpet, it was saying, God's presence is here. We can follow His presence. Whenever God is behind us in whatever we do to get a revival, His presence will be there with us. What will we do to get what the devil has shut up away from us? What the devil has put in behind walls that we can't get to? What will we do to open those doors? To open those walls? We must be persistent here tonight. Amen.